Hey, this is Marilyn Manson, and you're listening to Post Rock Paper Scissors. Welcome to Post Rock Paper Scissors. This is Armand here. Today is episode 108. It is one of our curated podcasts. On the episode today, we've got Anna Rose Carter. How's it going, Anna?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing just fine.
Good, good.
All right. So for those who might not be familiar with you, Anna, give us like a brief description of who Anna Rose Carter is and what type of music you play and all that stuff.
Okay. I'm 22-year-old pianist, I would say, and my music has been described as, I guess, post-classical. I mean, I wouldn't know what to call it myself, but that's how it's been described, so it's post-classical, and I have an EP of solo piano music, and that's, like, my first ever release. It's called Silver Lines, and it was on Skedios Records.
All right. So, you have actually two EPs before in 2010, or was it just?
I have another EP that was a free downloaded EP, so you could just download that for free. Yeah.
Do you want to mention what that is?
That one was called Something for a Rainy Day, and that was just a load of kind of little sketches of music that I put together. Some that hadn't recorded, you know, some I'd recorded at home, and some were collaborations, some were pieces that people had added things to, and they were just kind of lying around, and I thought it would be nice to put them together for this little net label called Dedicated Records, who offer kind of free EPs of maybe like artists that aren't that well known, maybe to get their music out and stuff. It's just a nice little way to kind of get music for free. So I did that. I put them all together and released them with them.
All right. Sounds good. So what's new in the life of Anna Rose Carter?
Well, I've been living in London for 3 years, but currently I'm in Wales visiting my parents. I've been here for maybe 6 weeks or something, and I'm planning to go back to London on Tuesday, but well, that's in a few days. But I have a release out at the moment with a glitch / ambient artist called Plek, who has taken a few of the pieces that were released with Dedicated Records, and I think one of the pieces that was released on Silver Lines, my first EP, and he's kind of remixed those and edited them, and they've been released on Rural Colors, the label, and that's just sold out. I think there was about 100 copies, and they've just sold out. So that's kind of my newest release at the moment. Yeah,
nice. Okay, so for that release, it was basically he used some of your previous material. So did you have to contribute anything new or change anything?
No, I didn't actually. I feel kind of lazy. I feel maybe I don't deserve the praise for it. So it was Plek who deserved the praise for that release, really. But I hadn't actually heard what he'd done, and he'd then sent me the pieces and was like, "Oh, this is what I've done to them. Like, would you like me to release them?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course you can. Like, I'm flattered that you've wanted to work with me anyway."
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you had never known him before. He just randomly contacted you one day.
Yeah. I didn't know him before. He contacted me saying how much he liked my music, and I sent him some of my stuff, and then he went ahead and edited them, and he's from Poland, and he actually used one of our tracks on, it was used on the Polish catwalk, which is pretty cool.
All right, so you mentioned that right now you're in Wales.
Yeah.
And I could imagine that the music scene in London and Wales is quite different.
Completely different.
So how would you say the music scene in Wales is?
Well, I come from a place called Swansea, and it's kind of a small seaside town. I guess the music scene here is predominantly punk bands and kind of rock bands, and some, they have quite a few folk festivals and things, and some small jazz festivals, but there's nothing really in the field that I'm interested in to kind of keep me here. So that's why I moved to London, really.
Sure. Did you grow up listening to any punk music, or was it just piano the whole way?
Oh, no. I've grew up listening to lots of different things. I used to go to a lot of punk shows when I was younger, maybe when I first started to kind of go out, you know, without my parents and things. It would be to kind of these gigs and stuff. And, yeah, I haven't always listened to piano music at all. I mean, I've always loved kind of film scores and stuff, but when I was maybe in my teens, I was listening to maybe like emo and punk music and stuff like that. But a lot of different things as well, not just that, but yeah.
Sure. So, by the way, we all got into that emo thing one day or another. It happened to all of us. Don't worry about it. All right. So how did you get started on the piano?
I had lessons I started when I was about 7. And I had lessons every week with just a lady who lived up the lane. And I got to about 15 or something, and I didn't want to go to lessons anymore. And then I just started writing for my own pleasure, really. I mean, there's a part of me that wishes I'd kept on going, because I would love to have more of the skills and more of the theory knowledge and stuff that I'm lacking, but I learned enough skills to be able to kind of compose for myself then. So, yeah, I've just been, I stopped when I was about 15, and then I've just been kind of writing for my own pleasure, really, ever since.
Is this something that, is music, writing music, like, what you're studying, I guess, in school too, or is this just a side hobby?
It's been a side hobby, yeah, but I started a university degree that I only did 1 year of because I wasn't enjoying it, and I thought, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. And I'm actually going to go back to university in September to do a music technology degree. Okay. Because I would love to be able to just be able to, you know, record my own album and do my own mixing and stuff. I don't like relying on other people to do it for me. And there's some things that, you know, you can't maybe explain how you want it to sound. And I'd love to be able to just do it all myself and see what other things I can add to my music, you know.
All right. So based on the playlist that you sent me, and I've actually listened to, you did a playlist a little while back for Fluid Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have to say thank you for doing that, because I listened to that one day, and from that I found out about Sam Amidon and Sarah Winchester.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
And, yeah, I've been loving their music ever since then.
Yeah.
So my question was going to be, your playlists are usually like half modern classical-ish or ambient or however you want to put it, and then like there's this half folky side.
Yeah.
So how do you, I guess, balance the two, or are you – more enjoying one than the other, or how does this work?
I guess like they kind of feel the same to me in a way. I don't know, they're both kind of very organic and natural, especially like, you know, the kind of folky stuff I listen to is kind of, the feel of it is more like home recorded, and then I find that like the instruments used in the ambient kind of music are kind of really natural instruments, and it just has that same kind of feel, that like organic emotional feel to it, that I think I can't really decide like which one I like better, you know.
Sure. So do you have plans ever to release something folkier?
Well, I've tried the guitar and I've tried a little bit of voice as well on some of my tracks. I just haven't put the two together. I mean, I'd love to be able to, you know, get a folk guitarist to come and play with me. But I'm not very good with writing lyrics. I've tried, but that's not my forte, really. But I wouldn't mind doing a collaboration with a folk artist. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Speaking of collab, are there any, I guess, dream collaborations that you'd love to do?
Ooh, I would love to do one with Kurt Vile. Speaking of folk artists, yeah, that would be pretty cool. I haven't really thought about it, no.
Okay, no problem. So that, now that you mentioned Kurt Vile, do you want to mention what we started off the show with?
Yeah, it's Kurt Vile and Runner Ups, one of my favorite Kurt Vile songs.
All right. I wasn't familiar with Kurt Vile before, so...
I've only just recently kind of discovered him myself as well. His newest album, Smoke Ring for My Halo. So, I don't know, I just fell in love with that album. I found it in Rough Trade. It was, I went in to listen to some music, and he was on the kind of, like, speaker thing. And I just bought it and fell in love with it. So, I don't really show much about him, but I just know that I love this album.
All right, no problem. What's going to be the track that's going to start off this next block?
It's James Blackshaw and Cross.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Armand here with our guest Anna Rose Carter, who curated today's podcast. She came up with a playlist. So Anna, what did we play in that last block right there?
The first one was James Blackshaw, and it was a track called Cross. I hadn't really heard much music like James's before. I'd known of an artist, John, I think it's Fahey, I don't really know how you say his last name, but he's kind of the most similar artist that I knew. And then I heard James Blackshaw's music and I was absolutely blown away. It's just like so hypnotic, and you just get so caught up in it. And I've never actually been to see him live, but that's a person who I'd absolutely love to go and see live. I think that would be amazing. So, so talented. I don't know how he moves his fingers so fast. I could never do that, but yeah, I'm blown away by that album. And then after that, we had Peter Broderick, who I'm a massive fan of. And I don't dislike one of his pieces, I don't think. One of my favorite artists, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. And
yeah,
quite prolific. Has like a release every month, it feels.
Yeah,
like.
I feel like he's kind of the leader of the ambient kind of classical scene, I guess. But I don't know, I couldn't choose which one of his songs to play, but I think that the one I chose, what's it called again? Oh yeah, Eyes Closed and Travelling. I think it's just the most beautiful pieces of his. It's so simple, but it's just so pretty.
Yeah. So this is, I guess, similar to James Blackshaw. Are you familiar with Alexander Turnquist at all?
No, I recognize the name. Maybe I've heard a couple of songs, but I can't remember.
If you want something similar to James Blackshaw and you really like his music, you should check out Alexander Turnquist.
Okay.
He makes that similar 12-string guitar, all these noodling, lush sounds. But we actually had him on the show a couple months ago, and he's nice.
Cool.
Nice dude.
I'm gonna listen. I'm going to write that down.
All right. So, question I wanted to ask you, and I noticed that in your playlist, all the artists are men. And so far on our curated podcasts, all the episodes have been done by men, except for one artist who was a lady. Her name was Alicia Mertz from New Zealand. Anyway, my point is that what I'm getting to is, why do you feel that there aren't a lot of women in this genre? And as a young lady, does it feel awkward to be in a genre that's predominantly, you know, male musicians, male fans? So is it awkward at all, or is it empowering? How does it feel? I don't know.
I have thought about this, and I don't really know why that is. I can't understand why there aren't as many women. It's kind of strange, actually, to think about it. But, yeah, I find it slightly intimidating, actually. I do, because, say, if I'm at a concert or something, and I want to go and speak to someone, and it's just a big group of guys chatting away, I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't be able to go up to them as easily if it was maybe a group of women. I don't know. It's slightly intimidating, but hasn't really stopped me at all, but I don't know why. Do you know why?
I have no idea.
No.
It would seem like this type of music would be very,
I know, because it's so emotional. That's
exactly what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of maybe a little bit sexist to say that, but it is very emotional music, and there are really not that many women involved, are there?
No, there aren't. It's, I guess, sad to see that, but yeah. Hopefully more and more we'll be able to get into it with the internet, and, you know, it gives everybody the ability to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I've noticed a lot is maybe this is because there aren't as many women on the internet, like internet forums as well.
Yeah.
Or, 'cause like you notice that whenever someone's eventually reaches the point that they listen to this type of music, they had to go through all the, you know, the radio rock and then the other kind of more generic pop rock type music or however, to finally, you know, download enough music to reach a point where they're into all these more quote unquote artier music.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed that on forums, it's pretty much all dudes again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's because of the style of music that it's all dudes on these forums. Maybe there's another forum out there somewhere that I don't know that's all women.
Maybe.
Music related. I don't know.
But, maybe women are intimidated or something. I don't really know. Maybe people don't I don't know why. Also, people running labels and stuff as well. Like, I don't know of any run by women. I think maybe Sonic Pieces is run by a woman, but that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, we need to get to the bottom of this. I don't have any answers either.
Let's start a case study.
Sure. All right. So, going into the next block right here, what's going to start us off here?
We have Elliot Smith and Angels in the Snow.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Armand here with our guest Anna Rose Carter, who curated today's podcast. So Anna, what did we play in that last block right there?
We had Elliot Smith, Angel in the Snow. Then we had Niels Fram with Corn. And then we had John Hopkins, A Small Memory. Oh, no, sorry. First of all, we had Charge Group. And then we had John Hopkins with A Small Memory. The Elliot Smith track, I haven't always been into this kind of music, but Elliot Smith is maybe the first folk artist that I really got into. I remember my mum brought home a CD, I think it was Roman Candle, when I was about 15, and I think I just listened to it non-stop that summer. So the reason I wanted to play it, it's a really nostalgic feeling for me to play that. And I think that a lot of the songs I've chosen, they have a certain like feeling, like a nostalgic feeling for me. So that's why I wanted to play Elliot Smith. And the same with Niels Fram. I mean, I've only really known his music for about 2 years, but I have a memory for kind of each of his releases and stuff. So that's kind of why I wanted to play them together.
Sure. Speaking of the Elliot Smith track, you mentioned that you first heard about his music because your mom brought a CD home.
Yeah.
So how much of your influence in music comes from your parents?
Well, I think my mum got that from a friend who had suggested that maybe she'd like it. But I grew up with kind of Fleetwood Mac and the Beatles and stuff like that. I was never really shown much instrumental music. I remember, though, my mum used to listen to Beethoven sometimes and Vivaldi and people like that. But I don't know how much it's influenced what I like. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it could have like no connection, because I grew up, oddly enough, listening to a lot of Arabic music because
really?
my parents are from Lebanon.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that's what I grew up listening to, but I, you know, don't listen to anything like that.
Yeah,
now, but
I know my dad doesn't. My dad, I don't think he likes the music I listen to very much. Like, for example, today he was rocking out to ZZ Top. So.
Nothing wrong with that on occasion. All right. So before we jump into the last block, the last song right here, I usually ask this question to a lot of our guests. So we're more than halfway through 2011 so far. Are there any albums that, you know, you think are probably the best album so far of the year?
I think probably my favorite album is Kurt Vile's. It's called A Smoke Ring for My Halo. And that's probably my favorite album of the year so far. Also, I love Bon Iver's new album, although I preferred the first one, I think. But there's two that I'm really looking forward to. It's Niels Fram's new album called Felt, and I think that's out in October, and I'm really looking forward to that. And also Dustin O'Halloran's new project with, I think his name's Adam Wiltsey, and it's called A Winged Victory for the Sullen. And I think that's coming out in September, so those two I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I actually heard that Dustin O'Halloran and Adam Wiltsey album, because I don't know if I should say this, I downloaded it, I'm sorry. it's very good.
Yeah, I've heard a few snippets on, it was a Raised Tape SoundCloud, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. So, yeah, I can't wait.
I'm a sucker for anything Stars of the Lid related. And Adam Wiltsey is a member of Stars of the Lid, if you're not familiar.
No, I didn't know him before.
Yeah, he's one of the two members of Stars of the Lid. And I also really enjoyed Dustin O'Halloran. So
yeah,
putting those two together is always a good thing.
I actually saw Dustin. I can't remember when it was. It was in the wintertime. I saw him in this tiny little venue in, it was somewhere in Kent. I can't remember what it was called, but oh yeah, I was just absolutely blown away, and he had some like beautiful images with what he was playing. It was amazing.
All right. So before we get into the last track, is there anything new coming up for you outside of this EP with Plek? Is there any new releases in the near future or anything like that?
Well, I'm hoping there'll be a release maybe in the next 6 months, but it's a release with my good friend who I met in this music college I went to for a year, and we did some recording a couple of weeks ago, we haven't done the mixing or anything yet, and I haven't actually listened back to anything yet because the guy who has the tracks is in Bristol, I'm in Wales, and then the guy I actually did the collaboration with is in London, so I haven't actually been able to listen to them. But we did some recording in this old warehouse in Bristol, and we did it through the night. So we did it, I think we started at about 8 in the evening, and then we finished at maybe about 5. We did that for, I think, 3 nights running. And it was basically me playing the piano, like improvising. And then my friend Chris, he had about, I think, 9 or 10 pedals or something. And as I'm playing, he manipulates it with his pedals. But it blows my mind. I don't know what he's doing, but he makes it sound amazing. So we're going to go and do some mixing for that in the middle of September. And hopefully we'll be able to release it soon. So I'm really looking forward to that because it's not like anything I've done before, really. The other stuff I've done was like by myself, and it was more kind of minimal and like solo piano and stuff. So I'm just really looking forward to how it comes out. So hopefully there'll be a new release soon.
Sounds good. So where can people, you know, buy your music, listen to it online, all that stuff?
All the physical copies of my releases have sold out, but you can still get my first EP, Silver Lines, on iTunes. And there's also a Bandcamp for some of my other releases as well. But I have a Facebook page, so you can probably find everything out on there.
All right, sounds good. I'm guessing there are no tour dates coming up anytime soon?
Not anytime soon, but hopefully if we get this release going, me and my friend Chris will be doing some dates around London, hopefully.
All right, sounds good. So, I guess before we jump into this last track, any last plugs or anything you want to mention, anyone you want to promote or whatever, it's your pedestal?
Nope.
All right. Okay, sounds great. So, what's going to be this last track that's going to end off this show right here?
This is Hans Otter. I think it's pronounced Otter. Part 2. And I actually discovered this by listening to Niels Fram's podcast that you did. And as soon as I heard that first, like, 30 seconds of that track, I was like, I have to get that album. It's absolutely stunning. So, yeah, this is... I know it's not been a release of 2011, but this is one of my favourite albums of 2011, even though maybe I'm, like, 50 years late or something. But, yeah.
It's all right. Yeah, I feel good that, you know, somebody's actually listening to the podcast and finding stuff that they love. Yeah. That's always great to hear. And thanks to Niels Fram for coming up with that playlist.
And thank you to you for showing me some new things today as well.
No problem. No problem. All right. Thank you, Anna, for doing today's show.
Thank you very much.
We'll jump into this last track. Here is Hans Otter with Part 2.